Penguin Audio presents The War for Late Night by Bill Carter. Read by Sean Kennan. Chapter 1. Comedy Tonight. By 8:30 on the evening of May 19, 2009, a stream of cabs and limos was snaking slowly down West 43rd Street, pulling up one by one to the doors of the venerable, somewhat shabby, town hall. The theater was a fabled Broadway district house, and everyone from Richard Strauss and Sergei Rachmaninoff to Louis Armstrong and Bob Dylan had played there long ago to sold-out audiences. The newly dark sky over Manhattan was clear, but the temperature cool for a mid-May evening, only 57 degrees. The arriving crowd didn't want to linger in the night air anyway, preferring to get inside as quickly as possible, if only to avoid the haranguing voices from members of the National Association of Broadcast Employees and Technicians, who were arrayed in force across the street in an effort to shame the management of their employer, NBC, into offering them a new contract. Most of the milling guests were specifically in the city on this night because it was the middle of Upfront Week, a long-standing television industry rite of spring during which the broadcast networks trot out their newly selected programs for the fall in hopes of luring cash commitments from advertisers. The gathering swarm outside the theater, arriving in packs of 5 and 6, was mostly under 35 and was much better dressed and significantly whiter than the average American population. If they barely paid attention to the noise of the demonstration, with a large inflated rat looming over the proceedings, it was because they had no vested interest in the protesters' cause. Largely, buyers from ad agencies, honchos from the big Hollywood production studios, or executives from NBC's affiliated television stations, the broadcast stations owned by other companies that carried NBC's programs, they had turned up at Town Hall to see a night of entertainment, and to get a first look at what NBC had been telling the world was the new paradigm for the television industry. Jay Leno at 10 o'clock. The network had put together the event on short notice, announcing it only a month earlier as NBC's Comedy Showcase, a night devoted to the great tradition of NBC comedy, as exemplified by shows like Seinfeld, The Office, and Saturday Night Live. In truth, it was all about grabbing some attention during Upfront Week for what Alan Wurzel, the head of research for NBC, had labeled clearly the highest priority for the network going into the fall television season: the new five-night-a-week Jay Leno Show. The evening was built around an appearance by Jay, the perennial late-night leader, now in his final weeks as host of The Tonight Show, doing his thing, classic, joke-intensive stand-up. The organizers had blocked it out so that Leno would walk out on stage precisely at 10 p.m., his symbolic debut at that hour. The time element was one reason the evening's show was set to start relatively late, 9 p.m., for a Broadway performance. The other was NBC's belated entry into Upfront Week. The network was actually squeezing itself into a day that was technically the property of ABC, and it had to be sure to allow enough time for its advertising clients to take in the ABC presentation, which started at 4, and get a little dinner before heading back to Midtown for some laughs. NBC also had to assuage any fears at ABC that it was going to pull people away from its competitor's event. According to the long-established pecking order of Upfront Week, Tuesday was slated for ABC's presentation, which was routinely staged at Lincoln Center Uptown. CBS owned Wednesday, with Carnegie Hall the somewhat incongruously grand setting. Fox, the newest of the networks, was usually relegated to Thursday, and whatever venue that network could scrounge up. In recent years, Fox had turned to the less-than-ideal City Center after some infelicitous, though memorable, forays to other locations, such as the flight deck of the aircraft carrier Intrepid. Hard to get to, hard to navigate around, and hard to hear anything inside the cavernous tent that Fox had erected. And the 69th Regiment Armory, which had established a new low for upfronts in 2006 by being hothouse humid, leaky-roofed, it was teeming outside, and redolent of urine. On top of that, one Fox executive had turned up on stage so drunk that he couldn't pronounce the word Tostitos. Monday, by tradition, belonged to NBC, which had the supreme advantage of having its 30 Rock headquarters located right across 50th Street from the pinnacle of Manhattan showbiz arenas, Radio City Music Hall. But the hall went vacant that year because NBC had abdicated its leadoff position in the up...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?